This is Pure Decking, show number 364. I don't know why we're still doing these things. And this is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game. And we've decided in the IRC, as rather than using the joke I wrote for the intro, we've decided in the IRC that the NRA is basically the AOL subscription of political movements. I'm Morps. Tonight I have whiskey. Madman, what's up?
I'm a domestic terrorist, and I have mining kugels.
There's a clip for the soundboard.
You grant that one now, Madman. No, Your Honor, we have him on tape.
Yep, there he is on tape, owning up to having beer. And we have RU. What's up, RU?
Oh, not much, just drinking the corner eye blood of Joe.
Gross.
If anyone didn't see that yesterday, it's actually pretty good. Joe Biden's eye burst on stage, blood everywhere. I may be over exaggerating, if true.
Well, now you can be like, I can't think of the guy's name now, the Republican junior House member with the eye patch.
Dan Crenshaw.
Yeah, you can be like Crenshaw and be up there with the eye patch on. Be old Pirate Joe.
Sniffing
hey,
hair
Joe,
across the high
where
seas.
Where you going with that gun in your hand?
I'm going to shoot that old lady, Hillary Clinton.
I caught her messing around with another man.
Bill knows.
Gross.
Oh, yeah, on a sad note.
Unmistakable patriotism of the velociraptor holding up a tattered American flag.
All right, go ahead.
On a side note there, it's the 10th New York cop this year to commit suicide. There's something really weird going on in New York, man, with the police. The suicide rate is going through the roof. But
I'm going to go with they're being crapped on and they have a crappy job.
Well, that's what I mean. It must be terrible, man.
Well, aren't they like
10 in 1 year?
I mean, don't they have like people throwing buckets of water on them like it's a political movement?
Yep.
I mean, yeah, and they're not allowed to respond to it.
It's pretty bad. But on an even further side note, Dave Rubin's back after 30 days off, and Dave's come to save us all. I don't know if you've seen this, Morps. Did you watch the episode? Dave Rubin, Glenn Beck?
Did not, but wasn't he joining Glenn Beck's online service?
Yes, he's joining the Blaze, but he's also starting his own YouTube. And nobody will ever be kicked off. It's going to be a subscription service like YouTube. You sign up, pay a monthly fee, and you too get to use Dave Rubin's platform and say whatever you want, and he'll never kick you off. If he doesn't like you, he just won't take your subscription the next month. But he'll never ban you from his service.
So he's not banning you for speech, he's just ending your subscription.
Yeah, I'm really starting to get sick of these dudes who are claiming to be for free speech as long as it lines their pockets. You know what I mean? I'm really getting sick of these sanctimonious fuckheads.
I don't care that they're not for free speech. I just wish they'd be upfront about it. Here are the rules.
Yeah, just look.
Here's what you can do on the platform. Here's what you can't. And if you break those rules, you get kicked off. That's fair.
And his claim that trolls don't like to spend money? Good luck, motherfucker. Because if these dudes decide
they'll
to come hard,
they'll spend their parents' money all day long.
Uh-huh. I've seen dudes spend shit tons of money to troll people online. It's quite fun and entertaining.
Yeah, watch a Twitch stream once sometime.
I mean, fuck him and fuck his subscription. If I'm going to test the waters on political speech, I'm going to go somewhere where it's free. At least I'm not paying for it. You know what I mean? Why would I pay for Dave Rubin to kick me off? But anyway,
I don't know. Some people are into that. They pay a lot of money in Vegas to get a hooker. Anyways,
I'm getting a little pissed at these guys. Yeah, we're here to save free speech. Now, fucking pay me, bitch. What, you got no money? Fucking pay me. That's what it seems like they're doing. They're like the mafia or some shit. What, you haven't got anything? Fucking pay me. You want to hear what I have to say? Fucking pay me. And fuck off.
Well, they got a following on a free platform.
Is it just me or is everybody else getting sick of this shit?
They got a following on a free platform, and now they think they've got a big enough name that they can go try to make a pay-for platform. And I'm not opposed to that, but the hypocrisy of it's a little much.
Yeah, I mean, and then and this is the casual fucking, this is how I know they're so steeped in their own fucking farts right now. Oh, yes, when we're in Copenhagen seeing fucking Jordan Peterson, you fucking smug cunt. And then to sit there and go, what, you can't afford $5 a month to fucking pay me? Get fucked. Sorry, dude. It's just been bugging me all night over that. Like, on one hand, it's like, what, you're too tight to pay $5? Oh, we were in Copenhagen last month.
Go ahead, Madman.
So, I haven't actually heard haven't listened to it yet, so I don't really have much to say other than if he's charging for a platform, that's not quite free speech. Now, as far as the subscription model for getting out news, I'm fine with that. They got to get paid somehow, and if you're being demonetized on the free platform, fundraise otherwise.
Well, I just wish they'd be straight about what demonetization is. It's not because of your speech. It's not because of, you know, you said fuck too many times. It's because they have an advertiser who's shitty, and it thinks that, you know, it's going to cause a controversy, and nobody wants to, you know. And this goes back to, oh geez, at least the 60s, where people figured out they could target advertisers for political reasons. So, anyways. But that's really what it is. It's because it's not advertiser friendly. So, you know, you want to keep monetized on YouTube? Do Disney content. I don't mean steal Disney content. I mean Disney level of content. That doesn't work either. Damn it, you know what I mean. Milquetoast. I mean, be Milquetoast. Be boring.
Yeah, I'm just sick of this shit. Like,
I'm okay with people spinning off their own things. Rats in there is talking about people in the IRC has mentioned people spinning off their own things. That's probably a good thing, actually, to have these things start diversifying back out, because right now you have a lot of people who think the internet is Facebook, Google, and YouTube, and that's it.
Okay, good. Good, fucking normies, stay there. Stay in your fucking pens. You know what I mean? Don't come out here. It's not fucking safe. It's never been safe, and you won't make it safe by crying. So just fucking stay on Facebook, stay on YouTube, let fucking DLive and all those others run fucking rank with their crazy programs. You know, what's wrong with that? Let's have a reservation for normies. Fucking trail of tears where they can go cry over the content that they didn't like. My apologies, Native Americans.
Because you had so much participation in the Trail of Tears.
And this is why I drink.
But as for the good things Andrew Jackson did.
Jesus.
He did pay off the national debt.
Madman, king of the segues.
Wow.
Woo!
Let me just goose step back in the line there, Madman.
I'm saying not everybody's bad. At least not all bad. I mean, Hitler built the Autobahn. Andrew Jackson paid off the national debt.
One more. You gotta have it in threes.
Threes?
What else did Andrew Jackson do?
Secured Georgia as a state and defeated the British in the War of 1812. Okay, the Battle of New Orleans, but still.
That's no small feat for one man. He used to breed him tougher back then. Back in my day, blowing a tranny meant something else.
Yeah, man, blowing a homeless dude down at the truck stop for a crack pipe. I bet you have a story that we could be talking about instead of random shit.
Oh, this yeah, no, fucking, it's been posted.
We've
in the
peak clown world, man.
It's been posted for a bit. This is from ZDNet. 600,000 GPS trackers left exposed online with the default password of 123456.
Somebody's doing their job.
At least 600,000 GPS trackers manufactured by a Chinese company are using the same default password of 123456. Security researchers from Czech cybersecurity firm Avast disclosed today. They say that hackers can abuse this password to hijack user accounts from where they can spy on controversial on conversations near the GPS tracker, spoof the tracker's real location, or get the tracker's attached SIM phone card number for tracking via GSM channels. Avast researchers said they found these issues in a T8 Mini, a GPS tracker manufactured by Shenzhen i365-Tech, a Chinese IoT device maker. However, as their research advanced, Avast said that the issue also impacted over 30 other models of GPS trackers, all manufactured by the same vendor, some even sold as white-label products bearing the logos of other companies. All models shared the same back-end infrastructure, which consisted of a cloud server to which GPS trackers reported, a web panel where customers logged in via their browsers to check the tracker's location, and a similar mobile app, which also connected to the same cloud server. But all this infrastructure was full of holes. While Avast detailed several issues in the report, the biggest was the fact that all user accounts, either from the mobile app or web panel, relied on a user ID and password that were easy to guess. The user IDs were based on the GPS tracker's IMEI number and was sequential, while the password was the same for all devices, 123456. This means that a hacker can launch automated attacks against Shenzhen's i365-Tech cloud server by going through all the user IDs one by one and using the same password and take over users' accounts. While the users can change the password after they log into their account the first time, Avast said that during a scan of over 4 million user IDs, it found more than 600,000 accounts were still using the default password because, you know, a lot of people never change those. Now, what I'm kind of wondering about is, let's just take this company name. Copy.
Shenzhen is one of the premier Chinese companies. It's in their top 50 state-owned companies.
Well, I'm just plugging in an Amazon to see what came up, but not that much. See, i365 Tech? Nah, not that much. All right, what about GPS Tracker? I was just curious how much these things cost.
Won't be that much.
$50,
there's
$30.
There's a lot of tech. Yeah.
So... yeah, SpyTech model, $50. GPS tracker Optimus 2.0 with magnets is $60. There's a tiny one for $30. There's some nicer ones that cost $100+. But yeah, so there's a whole range on the thing. So you know these things weren't that expensive.
So everybody can see your bug.
Yeah, pretty much. So... many customers buy the devices to track pets, elderly family members, kids, cars, or other valuable items. An attacker who gains access to one of these customer accounts can track victims, but they can also spoof the tracker's location to kidnap or steal a valuable product without the owner noticing until it's too late. In addition, these devices come with microphones and SIM cards so children or elderly members can place SOS calls to authorities or family members. Avast says account hackers can abuse this feature to place a phone call to their own number, answer the call, and then quietly spy on the GPS tracker owner. But these default passwords aren't dangerous just for the owners of the GPS trackers. Avast says the Chinese company itself is in danger. Researchers explain that accounts on the cloud service are created as soon as the GPS trackers are manufactured. They said that a malicious competitor could hijack these accounts before the devices are sold, change their passwords, and lock people out of their own accounts before they ever had a chance to create them. Creating problems later down the road. Since Avast research only looked at 4 million user IDs, the actual number of GPS trackers to default passwords is likely much higher. Unfortunately for everyone, the issue persists to this day, as Shenzhen i365-Tech did not respond to Avast's emails when the company tried to warn the vendor. Similar contact attempts made by ZDNet's sister site CNET did not succeed either. For now, users who own one of the 30-plus GPS trackers listed in the Avast report are advised to change the account passwords as soon as possible. So, and this is probably a lot more common across these cheapy IoT devices than anyone would like to think. It's literally just going to be finding the interface and going to town on whatever the default password is.
Especially if they're making the accounts as they make the item.
Yeah, they're stamping them out.
Yeah, that's...
So you could have these things sitting in a warehouse for years with dead accounts just sitting out there.
And even though I change the passwords whenever I get into a new device, that doesn't mean it's not pre-owned.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Oh, that would suck. Now I go to, bug my new girlfriend, and now I can't track where she goes.
Oh, no, you can track where she goes, but so can anybody else who's figured out that password. So, depending on how dark of an example you want, somebody could steal her purse, follow her around, and, we could keep going, but I don't think I need to.
Oh, good. My imagination runs wild. There's a kangaroo involved somewhere.
Yeah, so I got it. You take the giant rubber band, you throw the kangaroo at the car with the GPS tracker in it as a distraction. You then kidnap her, put her up in bad makeup and in 80s clothes, drop her off in Madman's apartment, hoping that he'll immediately break up with her for looking so horrific, right? Was I anywhere near
like
right?
That. Yeah, it's somewhere like that, yeah. I mean, with these fanciful stories, man, we'll be joining InfoWars at any moment.
Well, I either have fun with it with a silly example, or we go straight to the whole track down women and rape them. So I didn't want to do that.
Well, can you change
we're not getting on free speech TV, man. Back the fuck up.
But once you get the device, can you change the password yourself, or is it stuck with the default?
No, you can change it. It's just that most people apparently don't know that they need to. They also don't know how many of those are sitting in a warehouse rather than, have been purchased by somebody.
Yeah.
Everyone else does change the passwords for, like, routers and stuff they buy, right? They don't leave it at factory default?
No, you change it.
Madman, you should keep that childlike whimsy.
I mean, I know it's plug and play, but... there's instructions on the back.
And when registering at the main name, use your own full name and address.
Yeah. You don't remember when we used to do war driving and we would get into various networks with the password Linksys or admin?
But that was a decade or more ago.
Madman, has the world become less stupid in 10 years?
Oh, God, I need more beer.
Yeah. And on that note, next story, Mopes.
Facebook confirms millions of phone numbers exposed. And you sent me the exact link for this one. So this is from the BBC. If you're wondering why you're getting so many spam calls, here it is. Facebook has confirmed about 200 million phone numbers from members have been exposed in an online database. Company said it was investigating who had compiled the database and left it online unprotected. It includes telephone numbers for about 18 million Facebook members in the UK. The UK's Information Commissioner's Office said that it referred the matter to the Irish equivalent, the IDPC, which is the supervisory authority for Facebook in the EU. The database of telephone numbers and Facebook IDs was discovered on an unprotected web server and was not password protected. It is not believed to be compiled or put out there by Facebook. The database was taken offline after the news site TechCrunch reported the issue to a web hosting company. In April 2018, Facebook switched off a feature that let people search for other users by typing in their phone numbers. The company said malicious actors had abused the feature by typing in millions of phone numbers to find out who owned them. No shit. It's called database scraping. They said they had been harvesting profiles and phone numbers for years by abusing the search tool, and that anybody who had not changed their privacy settings after adding their phone numbers should assume their information has been harvested, although the database is reported by TechCrunch may have been compiled using this tool. Not only that, but Facebook, if you ever logged in on your phone, would actually scrape your phone contacts and add all that to its database. So, and it didn't ask, it just did that. So, they had a lot more phone numbers than just, their members.
They had everyone's phone number.
Pretty much.
I think, how many degrees away from a Facebook user are you? And he doesn't do anything social media. I'm thinking no more than one.
Sorry, what was the question again, Madman? I'm fucking with a chatbot.
Don't turn it into Hitler again. We already have three of those. It's how many degrees separated are you from a Facebook user?
One.
Most that disconnected person I know.
the person very rarely uses Facebook. Yeah, so one.
Well, you have the advantage of not actually having a phone number for them to share, but still.
Everyone's also, phone number is out there.
I have the advantage of the only people who have an actual photograph of me are you guys from the meetup. I haven't actually had a photograph, apart from government ID, taken of me anywhere on...
Yeah, but that photo's got a dice bag in front of your face.
Yeah, but true. Actually, no, there is a...
There's a clear image photo of him.
Fox has it. You're right.
Yeah. So I got that going for me.
In case you're ever kidnapped, you're going to have to go to somebody in the States to get a photo of you. That's even somewhat recent.
If someone's kidnapping a fucking skinny 40-year-old dude, for what purposes I want to die?
They thought you were the guy from the EEV blog and we're just big fans.
No, I seriously think all this is going to come back and bite me in the ass, man. Real hard.
Oh, yeah. Eventually, it's going to be, why don't you have profiles? Why don't you have a Facebook? You don't own a cell phone? Are you a terrorist?
Yeah, I think it's going to be detrimental to me. Because they're like, what? You don't have any of that and no social networking, shit like that? You know, where have you been for the last 20 years? At this point, I've gotten to the thing where I just say I don't even have email now. I don't use computers.
Evil things, they'll steal your soul. Oh, no, there you go. Claim it's a religion. They can't question it.
Yeah, I suppose it could. Then they're going to ask me what sort of religion, and then I'm going to have to tell them the law.
We call ourselves the Luddites. We believe that technology is evil, but we're not Amish.
Yeah, but I like to drink and smoke. And I can't raise a bond for shit. I seriously think all this avoidance of modern life is going to really come and harm me down the track. I will have a please explain moment, and it's going to be very difficult, which means you guys are going to get phone calls to vouch for me.
No, I don't know an Eric in Australia. I know one guy in Australia, and his name's not Eric.
But, yeah, no, it's going to be
weird,
man.
It depends. Does he have my heroin? If he has my heroin,
I'm not sure. For anybody wondering, I was trying to remember. Wait, do I know our usual name? Okay, I'm pretty sure it's not Eric, so we'll use that.
Yeah, that's a good shot. Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses know me as Gary. That's a good one.
No, the only person I know in Australia is a man named Karen. Sounds like he got beat up a lot.
But, yeah, it's a danger of having phones and shit hooked up to your Facebook and things like that.
Well, I mean, anything's going to be like that, but... I tell you, I've got a couple of LinkedIn profiles because I accidentally activated one on my work email because I wasn't paying attention to what email I was in and clicked the thing and it made an account. And I immediately closed it out. I'm like, oh, wait, this isn't the account I want to use. I logged into it once. And as far as I know, there's no way to delete it.
You can't delete LinkedIn accounts.
To this day, I get two or three emails a week of people asking me to connect to them on that LinkedIn account. It's a blank profile. It has an email address on it. That's it. To this day, I get two or three emails a week of people trying to connect to that account.
Didn't LinkedIn go behind a paywall to try and stop the growth of their website? It was getting too
big.
You
have to pay for it if you want to do the better searching. Like if you want to cyberstalk somebody through LinkedIn.
Yeah, dude, I used to use the shit out of LinkedIn to cyberstalk people. It was gold.
We still we may or may not have a few profiles with interesting fake names that are pay-for accounts just so we can stalk potential employees. That's probably illegal as all hell, but...
I don't know, man. If you say hypothetically paid an outside consultancy fee to another country, it's probably not against the law that way.
You know what? Cykros is just taking a stab at your real name, are you? And it's not a bad guess.
What's he got?
Rick Underwood, born in April of 1986.
Not bad. Not even close. But...
it's not a bad guess.
They're actually Rusty Shackelford in 1969. Well, but no one gets the Rusty Shackelford joke.
Well, I'm just you just killed it because I was getting ready to say, okay, we're going to have a new contest. Guess RU's real name. Whoever gets it gets a visit from Madman with a
from
cat.
Me.
gets a visit from RU with a box of lizards. He's going to throw the box at you and run. Oh, fuck, there'd be weirdos out there who's into that.
What, the lizards are trying to guess my name?
Both.
Anyway, where were we?
I think we're on to the next post from from threat post. Did I post the link? I did not.
That's why I didn't know where we were.
So I don't want to do that. No, Rats, that's not his name either. His name is RU. All right.
Robert Paulson.
His name was Robert Paulson.
Death. Members of Project Mayhem have a name.
Bob had bitch tits. Anyway.
We're hitting all of pop culture tonight. How you doing, kids?
If your kid's listening to this... where are your parents?
You're making very weird life choices, and you were going to, you know, maintain wizard status. Just saying.
All right. This one's from Threat Post. CEO Deepfake swindles company out of $243,000.
Damn. Using a deepfake image?
Voice, actually. One of the voice packets. Or voice wow. Fakes. Cybercrooks successfully fooled a company into a large wire transfer using an AI-powered deepfake of a chief executive's voice, according to a report. In the first known case of a successful financial scamming via audio deepfakes, cybercrooks were able to create a near-perfect impersonation of a chief executive's voice and then use the audio to fool his company into transferring $243,000 to their bank account. A deepfake is a plausible video or audio impersonation of someone powered by artificial intelligence. Security experts say the incident, first reported in the Wall Street Journal, sets a dangerous precedent. In the identity verification industry, we're seeing more and more artificial intelligence-based identity fraud than ever before. David Thomas, CEO of identity verification company Evident, told ThreatPost, as a business, it's no longer enough just to trust that somebody is who they say they are. Individuals and businesses are just now beginning to understand how important identity verification is, especially in this new era of deep fakes. It's no longer just enough to trust a phone call or a video file. The Wall Street Journal's report, which went live over the weekend, has attributed to the victim company's insurance firm, Euler Hermes Group SA, which declined to name the impacted company but outlined the incident in detail. The incident kicked off in March when the CEO of an energy company thought he was speaking via phone to his boss, the chief executive of the firm's German parent company. The caller on the phone asked the CEO to send the funds, totaling 220,000 euros or $243,000, to a Hungarian supplier in an urgent request with the promise that it would be reimbursed. Wait, why would you do that if it's going to get... Anyways. The victim... The victim deceived into thinking the voice was that of his boss, particularly because it had a similar slight German accent and voice pattern, made the transfer. However, once the transaction went through, the fraudsters called back, asking for another urgent money transfer. At that point, the CEO became suspicious and refused to make the payment. The funds reportedly went from Hungary to Mexico before being transferred to other locations. Ulker Hermes Group SA was able to reimburse the affected company, according to the report. The incident points to how voice fraud powered by artificial intelligence is a burgeoning cybersecurity threat to enterprises and consumers alike. A 2018 report by Pindrop found that voice fraud had jumped 350% from 2013 to 2018, with 1 in 638 calls synthetically generated. While the cybersecurity industry has touted AI as a way for developers to automate functions and enterprises to sniff out anomalies, this incident also shows that the technology could easily be used maliciously. In fact, after creating a replica of popular podcaster Joe Rogan's voice, generating lifelike speech only using text inputs, Dessa, a company that offers enterprise-grade tools for machine learning engineering, warned that anyone could utilize AI to impersonate people. This means that spam callers could impersonate victim family members to obtain personal information, criminals could gain entrance to high-security clearance areas through impersonating a government official, or deep fakes of politicians could be used to manipulate election results, said Dessa in a May post. Right now, technical expertise, ingenuity, and computing power and data are required to make models like these platforms work well, said Dessa. So not just anyone can go and do it, but in the next few years or even sooner, we'll see the technology advance to the point where it's only a few seconds of audio needed to create a lifelike replica of anyone's voice on the planet. It's pretty scary. So a couple more paragraphs there, but they're not really important. So yeah, this is where if you're going to start... You know, you need to establish policies in your company. If you're going to call and ask for a money transfer of a certain size, you need a code phrase, a password, something.
It's bizarre that they didn't already have a policy like that in place for large transactions.
At least a two-step verification. Like,
a lot of companies should be, don't.
You got to be, if you say you're having a voice conversation, then there should be a text to verify. You know what I mean?
Madman, how many attempts do you hear about on a daily basis of people sending in fake wire transfer instructions over email or phone?
Oh, God. There are several.
Yeah, I hear about them all the time. So this is just a new step in that process where now they've got, you know, somebody who sounds like, you know, they may be able to use a deep fake to sound like the person they're impersonating, and now they can call them up. So say, hey, this is such and such. I need you to make this payment to this account. And
maybe it's just the industry I'm in, but over-the-phone wire transactions pretty much don't happen.
Not anymore. I mean,
you need there's a process you go through. Now, it can be initiated, but there's a follow-up before the money actually goes out.
A lot of companies, they wire to contractors all the damn time. So they don't. You know, we kept reading about all these cities falling for that shit, right?
Yeah.
And that's just with email fakery. You know, if it's hey, I just sent you an email with updated wire instructions and something you need to do, and it sounds like your boss, and they spoofed the caller ID so it looks like it's coming from your boss, how many people would question that?
Not enough, apparently.
Yeah. So, I mean, even small-time companies are going to need to start having if somebody calls and requests a wire transfer, they need to know... You know, whatever today's code is, or, you know, something that you can verify that they're at least inside the company, right?
Or here's the process for paying out vendors.
Yeah. We never violate.
Dude, corporate Enigma machines. There's our next big fucking deal ticket, man.
I don't think they would use it.
Think about it. You'd have to have something based offline to stop major fraud. Yeah, an Enigma machine for each company.
Well, I mean, you know, they're called RSA tokens, but yeah.
But you were questioning the reimbursement earlier in the story. It's because they're talking about two different divisions.
Yeah.
European division is going to reimburse the U.S. division for funds.
Yeah, that makes sense. And Cykros, that strategy works more often than you'd like to admit. You know, call them up angry. Hey, why haven't I been paid? If you all don't pay me right now, I'm going to shut down your website. I'm going to shut this stuff down. You know, act like you're the vendor for whatever, you know. And you get the right kind of people in a panic, they're not going to look at it that closely, and they'll wire that money out. Okay, okay, we've wired it, or we've cut a check, and we're going to FedEx it to you. Here's the tracking number. I mean, you know, you get the right kind of panic in people, doesn't matter. So the real trick, though, is figuring out people's speech patterns, because what usually gives them away is like when they're sending a fake email pretending to be your CEO, and you know they have the word kindly in there. Like, I know some of the C-levels at my company now, which is strange, but I know some of the C-levels. None of them use that word. So, but yeah, this should be a protocol and something to authenticate. Call my mother a whore. Yep, yep. I like that. All right, what's the movie quote? You got to say the movie quote, or we're not going to do the wire transfer. Madman, what is the quote?
Your mother's a whore?
I was expecting Poltergeist, but that works too. Anyways, or not Poltergeist, is that Exorcist? Yeah, it's Exorcist where he goes, your mother sucks cocks in hell.
Yeah, Alice flashing on Dargo saying Gian and I are having great sex.
Different movie.
Like, I've got good news and bad news. The bad news is you're going to spend the next 80 cycles as a statue. What's the good news? Gian and I are having really great sex.
All right. But yeah, that's going to be a thing more and more. When they get the video deep fakes a little bit better, they'll start. Oh, that's the thing. They'll start using them on like video calls for like WebEx and shit, because those are webcams and they already look like crap. So
yeah,
you can do a low res on a deep fake and make it look like, you know, a webcam on a WebEx. If somebody's like, hey, yeah, we got to get this fixed. Can you wire this? And, you know, it'd be pre-recorded, but who cares?
At that point, the cost of actors are going to go down dramatically.
Well, that's why I'm saying you could get away with it on like a WebEx or a Zoom or something, because the camera quality is already crap on those, because it's just a webcam. It's not like, you know, you're doing a blockbuster video with it or anything. It's you just got to make it look like your CEO is sitting at a Starbucks or something. You know, you just have a little 5-second loop that's going that matches the voice movements. They already have Carrie Fisher acting post mortem. I haven't. Yeah, you're right. They're doing that. Well, I thought she was supposed to be in the next movie. Some, I mean, I'm hoping they cut her role down just to save on it. But yeah. So
the Star Wars franchise is over.
Yeah. Yeah. Next story.
Hey, at least we got three good films.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they're older than I am, but they're three great films. I don't know. Rogue One was good. I'm not going to shit on that one. That was a good Star Wars movie.
This is where you make a bad joke and say something like, you know, yep, you know, A New Hope, Return of the Jedi, and Phantom Menace. Three great movies. Wait, what?
Jar Jar Binks is one of the greatest characters ever written.
You're lucky I don't know what street you live on.
Be so sorry.
I mean, it's going to take me a while to knock on every door in your town.
I'm looking for the
get kicked in the fucking balls.
I'm looking for the strange loner who likes Jar Jar Binks. Oh, yeah, he's down the road. It's like, what are you doing? I'm mailing you a box of dead dog heads, as opposed to living dead hot dog heads, which would be, wait, what? Okay.
No.
Yeah, that didn't work. But anyways, FedEx overnight box of dog heads or something. I don't know. So, cause it's supposed
I wonder
to be
how that would go through customs. Is it live or dead at that point? Produce? Is it meat?
You would list it as medical experiment.
I don't know what's the last name of the recipient that's getting it. Morph's got it.
486, obviously. I mean, duh. Oh, fuck. Anyways, let's see. Next article is from CNN.com. Facebook debuts vaccine pop-up windows to stop the spread of misinformation. A new feature is rolling out on Facebook and Instagram to combat the spread of anti-vaccine information. Facebook, which owns Instagram, announced on Wednesday that educational pop-up windows will appear on the social media platforms when a user searches for vaccine-related content, visits vaccine-related Facebook groups and pages, or taps a vaccine-related hashtag on Instagram. If the user is based in the United States, the pop-up will connect the user to the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention for credible information on vaccines. If the user is outside the United States, it will connect them to the World Health Organization.
Facebook, I'm an adult. Maybe fuck off and let me make my own decisions.
Pop-ups will share vaccine information from the CDC and the WHO on Facebook and Instagram. The CDC... Oh, that was the caption for the... That's weird. They had the caption look close enough that it looked like it was part of the story. Editors, do your fucking job. Anyways, the CDC praised Facebook's latest move to stop misinformation from circulating on its platform. We know that parents are often turned to social media to access health information and connect with other parents, and it can be difficult to determine what is accurate and who the credible sources of information are, to the CDC spokeswoman Kristen Norland said in an email on Wednesday. Combating vaccine myths and misinformation is a shared responsibility, and we applaud these efforts, she said in part. The launch comes at the same time a measles outbreak in the United States, reaching more than 1,200 confirmed cases across 31 states since the beginning of the year. Outbreaks have also spread around the world, resulting in four European countries losing their measles-free status. Public health experts have pointed to anti-vaccine content online as playing a major role in fewer people getting vaccinated against certain diseases, resulting in outbreaks of measles and other illnesses. The World Health Organization and Facebook have been in discussions for several months to ensure people be able to access authoritative information on vaccines and reduce the spread of inaccuracies, WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, that name was horribly butchered, said in a written statement on Wednesday. Vaccine misinformation is a major threat to global health that could reverse decades of progress made in tackling preventable diseases. Okay, you know what? Blah, 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 blah. So... I'm not arguing the vaccine argument. That goes round and round, and I'm not particularly anti-vax, although whenever I talk to parents who are getting vaccinations for their kids, it's like, man, that's a lot. You know, they end up getting like 30-something shots in a year. It's like, damn. And many of them are multi-disease shots, so it's like I understand why people are a little apprehensive about it. It's like I get the idea of wanting to maybe spread it out a bit because it's a lot of shots.
But, it's over 5 years, dude.
That's okay. I was talking with somebody at work who said they were basically getting like five shots a week for like the next couple of months so they could go to school.
Did they not do any of their other vaccinations?
Maybe not. Yeah, I don't know.
They obviously didn't vaccinate. Because there's a 6-month vaccination, then there's a 12-month. I don't have kids, so I don't really know. But
yeah, I don't either, and I don't want to really take a side in the vaccine argument because I don't know enough about it to do so. But
vaccinate your kids, man. Spay your pets.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not against the normal ones. So when you hear about some of the weird vaccines, it's like, huh? But
look at it this way: your kid could die from the vaccine now, but hey, you only had it 6 months. You're not going to miss it too much in a year. But think about it: if it lives to 16, gets smallpox and dies, you're going to be devastated. A terrible joke, I know.
Vaccinate your pets, neuter and spay your kids. Got it.
No. Exactly. Vaccinate your crutch goblins, dude.
Yeah. I'm not really getting into that argument. But what bothers me...
How long have we been vaccinating? We've been vaccinating children for...
100 years, give or take.
Something like that. Every time we figure out we can cure something, we do. And look, it seems to be working pretty well until the internet came around and bored housewives.
Go ahead, Madman.
Vaccine comes from the word for cow from what we were doing with cowpox. That's like 1800s.
Yeah, it's been a bit.
You get cowpox?
Well, that's how we got the smallpox vaccination. Cowpox is a version of smallpox that's transmitted through cattle. It's not actually particularly harmful to humans. But we found that milkmaids or anyone that was handling a lot of cows, for some reason, they weren't getting smallpox. Like, you could drown them in dead people, and they might have been crushed by the dead people, but they didn't get smallpox.
I like Madman's version of medical testing, where we're just going to throw corpses at milkmaids.
Yeah. It's the same as what, when you think about it, man, the lower you were on the social totem pole those days could have saved your life. Like, being a washerwoman in London during a plague, not many of them died.
Yeah, they were exposed to everything already.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so low you are on the totem pole could save your life.
So long as you're high enough to have proper nutrition.
So get scrubbing that toilet, Mops.
That took a strange turn.
Well.
But, so what I wanted to actually talk about with this was if Facebook is, you know, popping up quote-unquote authoritative sources based on searching for vaccines, doesn't that make them a publisher and not a common platform?
Yes.
And again, I don't really want to get, I mean, I didn't want to get into the vaccine argument. We kind of did. I mean, we touched on it. But, because I'm not really going to argue about it. I don't think vaccines are a bad thing. But, like I said, some of the people I talked to, I kind of get where they're coming from. So, okay, well, whatever. But, measles, you know, mumps, rubella, the stuff we know works. You know, maybe you don't want to skip those. But, you know, they've got some of the weird ones. So they're like, here's the smoking vaccine. What? No. I don't know how does that work. But,
man, definitely all girls and guys should get the HPV vaccine when they're 15.
You've been listening to those commercials again.
We don't do commercials like that over here. I just follow a lot of medical journals.
Well, I mean, they have proven that there is a cancer link with that one. So,
yeah, cervical cancer and mouth and throat cancer in dudes.
Yeah. So
I mean, I'm not arguing that point. I don't really want to get into that argument. I was thinking more the whole, you know, Facebook picking and choosing what sources it's going to publish like that.
Yeah, I think that's wrong.
Facebook, that's kind of like the that. Suggested videos throw-ups. Is that really publishing or just tossing up another video that someone posted?
Well, no, this isn't like coming up in a suggestion feed on the side. This is a pop-up. This is in front of everything else.
Like, it'll only be a matter of time before they start suggesting other alternative news and things like that. Like, hey, we know you're looking at the train crash over here, but here's what would have happened if it didn't happen. You know what I mean? Like, don't look at that. Look at this.
Or let's take it to a fun extreme. I see you're looking at a young Republicans member group. Have you considered looking at the Democrat National Convention? I mean,
that was a shit show last night.
I didn't watch any of that, but I heard it was terrible. The whole town halls so you don't on have global to. Warming.
I'm grabbing your guns. You know, it's just people being more extreme than the next. It was ridiculous.
Joy.
So, the only, as I said, the only fun part was when Joe Biden fucking blew a valve. Started leaking blood. I was rather concerned for the old fuck. You can tell he does not want to be there, man. He is just done. I think Joe's sitting there going, look, I'll take this shit from my wife. I don't need to be taking it from you bitches. You know what I mean?
I see that, yeah. Well, I mean, he's had to take a lot since he started running. I mean, because it's, you know, all the gaffes and the old creepy Joe stuff. And
so I think the media is really giving him a pass on the old creepy Joe thing. Right?
Well, that's a shame.
But, I mean, it's low-hanging fruit, man. I mean, Tucker and that covers a lot of this stuff. Even he's not going down that low. Anyway,
so, but yeah, I just, I don't feel like Facebook ought to be cherry picking. I mean, okay, it's an easy argument to say, well, they're sending you to the WHO or the CDC. I get that. And, oh, you know, you're not anti-vax. Why are you against this? I'm against this because it's Facebook picking what news sources you should be allowed to look at.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm against that as well, man.
If they're
once again proving that they're a publisher and not a platform.
Yeah, if they're a common platform, they don't get that. They don't get to do that. They're a publisher if they do that. And if they're going to be a publisher, then they have to abide by the publisher rules, and they don't have all the protections of a common platform, and, you know, they need to be very clear on what's allowed and what's not. Of course, they're not going to do that because it'll kill their business, but, you know, that's the point, is it's like, this is very clear evidence that they are picking and choosing content for their platform, arguably based on political views. Now, agree or disagree on those political views, but, I mean, still.
On, you know, that one, I think you may be going a bridge too far when it comes to the political views, at least citing this story.
Okay.
Because anti-vaxxing isn't a political issue.
Well,
no, it's a health issue.
It is a logical fallacy to worry about the slippery slope, but I don't believe logical fallacies are bad when you're dealing with things that are not logical, like, you know, people, and people run this shit.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's a logical fallacy. I'm saying if this was a political ad, you could say it's political. They're not doing it political yet.
Oh, so
now,
you're,
if they
you're,
move to
you're,
science,
so you don't
political.
Like that I put the word political on there. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, like if they're doing a news story on pick name of rally from whatever political candidate, and then they're showing here's
a competitor.
A competitor, and this competitor is biased against whatever political candidate. Then it's a political statement. Now, it still might be an editorial statement with them showing here's the CDC's view on what you're looking at. But
all right, well,
it's
then I'm
not
definitely
quite
gonna,
a political statement.
All right, I'm definitely going to argue it's a editorial statement then.
Yeah, I'm trying to work my way around that one on this one, but I can't.
Well, that's my point, is like, if you're going to have an editorial decision made on your platform, it's not a platform. You're a publisher. So,
now, if it were a publisher, do you think that's a bad idea whenever it's obvious misinformation?
No. No, I'm okay with that. It just means that they need to be straight up with what the rules are, and they're not. So that's my only point, is I don't much like them cherry picking if they claim to be a neutral platform. Because if I'm running a neutral platform and you go on there and start posting flat earth stuff, I should have to leave that up because I'm a neutral platform. Now, I could go on there as myself, not representing the platform, and say, hey, I disagree with you. Here's pictures from NASA, you know. And, of course, you know, oh, well, there are no real pictures of the Earth from NASA. They're all composites, and get into that bullshit. But, I mean, it's like,
what, you believe in the moon? What crazy person are you?
Well, it's a very convincing soundstage. I mean, you know.
And all birds are actually drones spying on us.
God! Woo! Oh, we're so far down the rabbit hole on this one. Anything else, and you want to move on? Let's move on.
Let's move on to the next one.
Okay, last news article I have for tonight. This is from TheVerge.com. 8chan has no intent of deleting constitutionally protected hate speech, owner tells Congress. The video of the guy, or the picture of the guy, is just like, yep, that's somehow what I thought the guy who runs 8chan would look like.
Are you talking about Wheels?
Jim Watkins there, yeah.
A little guy in a wheelchair?
They don't show him in the wheelchair. It's a really funny picture of him.
Yeah, I'll have to look. Because if it's who I think I'm thinking of.
Jim Watkins, the owner of 8chan, gave testimony to Congress on.
I know this guy.
Yeah.
He's a fucking psycho, man. This guy's literally a fucking psycho.
gave testimony to Congress on Thursday after the House Homeland Security Committee subpoenaed him for testimony last month. Watkins' appearance before the committee was prompted by a series of racist shootings across the world where attackers posted manifestos outlining their hateful white supremacist motives to the image board prior to opening fire.
None of them have been white supremacists. One was an accelerationist. One was an eco-terrorist. The other one was a Bernie bro.
I just like the phrasing here of, like, right before opening fire. Like, yeah, you know, they've got the cell phone out. They're getting ready to pull the trigger. Oh, hang on, guys. Hang on. And post. Okay, now we can go.
Please shoot. Like and subscribe. It's like, kill these shitskins.
Damn.
Oh, there's a clip.
Man, are you?
Sorry.
Oh, fuck.
I have 4chan a little too hard there.
So I'm going to get the new high score.
No, man, this whole, every article I've read about this shit, A, they have no idea who the hack of 4chan is, and these people aren't fucking white supremacists. Like, I've read every one of these fucking retards' manifestos, man. One of them even fucking references the Snorlax or something like that.
The Texas shooter.
Yeah, the Texas guy.
Oh, that's in this article.
He wasn't a white supremacist, he's an eco-terrorist.
The latest attack, prefaced by a manifesto in the United States, occurred last month in El Paso, Texas, resulting in the deaths of over 20 people and drawing the attention of lawmakers who compelled Watkins to speak on Thursday. This is at least the third attack of white supremacist extremist violence linked to your website this year, committee leaders told Watkins last month. Americans deserve to know what, if anything, you, as the owner and operator, are doing to address the proliferation of extremist content on 8chan. A week later, the committee subpoenaed Watkins for the testimony he plans to give today. In prepared remarks, Watkins paints 8chan as a one-of-a-kind discussion board where users discuss politics, video games, and down-home recipes.
For bombs.
Involving nitrate.
That's in quotes. Down-home recipes. Everything else is not in quotes, but that one was in quotes. The racist speech that plagues the platform only comes from a small minority of users, according to Watkins, and 8chan has no intent of deleting constitutionally protected hate speech. Watkins does address all three major racist shootings in his prepared statement, including Christchurch, New Zealand, Poway, California, and El Paso. He lists how long it took for moderators to take down the original postings from the shooters, varying from a few minutes to several hours, and says that all deleted content is removed by hand from 8chan's, is removed by hand from 8chan's shooter moderators.
By hand.
That's what he says. I consider myself a good and faithful American man and promise to do my best to help you solve your dilemma with the hate speech and censorship of minority opinions on voices on the internet, Watkins says. I will say today that, contrary to some rather noisy folks, that my company is law-abiding and we understand the restriction of some speech is necessary. 8chan is still down on the web after several internet infrastructure companies like Cloudflare pulled their services to the site after the El Paso shooting. Watkins says...
Oh, it's not. Not.
I'm trying to keep a straight face while I read this. Are you? Come on, man. Watkins says that the site will continue to stay offline voluntarily and may come back online as soon as he is able to develop new tools to counter illegal content. Prior to El Paso, Watkins said that his team was working on a way to restrict the site in an emergency, like creating a read-only mode or prohibiting users from posting files or using the Tor network to access the site. 8chan is currently working on expanding these models, Watkins said. It's not clear if the site's moderators were aware that the site was developing these new restriction tools. Watkins' appearance before the committee staffers happened behind closed doors on Thursday, not to lawmakers directly. For this meeting, Watkins retained lawyer Benjamin Barr, who has represented the right-wing Project Veritas group before. It's unclear if or when a transcript of the meeting will be released publicly. We want to thank Mr. Watkins for his cooperation today, committee leader said in a statement upon the meeting. He provided vast and helpful information to the committee about the structure, operation, and policies of 8chan and his other companies. We look forward to his continued cooperation with the committee, as he indicated his desire to do so during today's deposition. I love how they link Project Veritas into this.
Right-wing Project Veritas.
Yeah.
Couple of mistakes made in that writing. You cannot post from Tor to any of these message boards. That's been a thing for a while.
Yeah.
So,
it's not surprising, but...
yeah, there's been a couple
of documents. I figure most of the VPN services are probably blocked through there just because people, you know, shit posting and getting banned.
Yeah, I mean, look... I don't go to 8chan. I browse there a bit, but it is well known for Lefty Pole, they called it. It was a left-wing fucking crankshaft over there. Like, talking about eco-fucking terrorism and anarcho-communism and shit like that. That's what they were known for. They're fucking straight-up crazies.
Well, you know, after you have all these shootings, people start looking for a scapegoat because, you know, you can't blame that... people are crazy or anything like that. No, we have to have a reason. There must be something we can do about this, as opposed to the more terrifying idea that, no, some people are just going to go shit crazy and there's nothing you can do about it till it happens. We live in a free country, not a safe country.
Well, the kid, young white males are growing up to be told they're pieces of shit from the start. They're responsible for all the woes of the world. Maybe they should just fuck off and die. Yeah.
I would just go play some Dig Dug to relax, but they banned all video games.
Yeah. Or maybe they just started filling you full of fucking speed from when you were 12 years old because you're a little too active in the classroom. The little Billy's been on speed for the last fucking 10 years. Oh, suddenly he can't get his fucking speed anymore because he's not on mom and dad's co-paying fucking health insurance. Oh, 6 months down the track, his fucking brain chemistry is so imbalanced. He starts just freaking the fuck out, grabs a gun, and blows people away. I'm not handing up an excuse for these shooters, but I'm just giving a broader definition than fucking Nazis. You know what I mean? There's more to this shit.
It is interesting that you never hear about what narcotics these people were on.
That's what I want to know, man. Like the dude that the shooter that you referenced there, people say he's smoking meth. It's fucking nuts. Right? The only one that I think was clear and sound of mind was the fucking New Zealand shooter. But the last two guys, reading their manifestos, man, they are just straight out fucking left-wing eco-terrorists. That's all they are.
The Ohio guy didn't think left a manifesto. I think they were just pasting together his posts and stuff.
Yeah.
But he never left an actual manifesto.
I thought there was a bunch of confusion as to whether or not they even posted some of these things or if it was somebody else posting it after the fact.
Most of his stuff, they were looking at the timestamps. It was before, but they're not even sure his was politically motivated. It may have been a family thing.
But no one talks about the African-American kid who opened up at a football game last weekend, shooting people in the grandstands. No one, you didn't hear shit about that one, I bet.
No, we didn't.
There were 15 people shot, 5 of them gravely wounded. And didn't see a fucking thing about that, did you?
No,
nope, because the kid was black, teenager, and they didn't call it a mass shooting.
I think it's going to be the same problem as all the white kids, though. I believe it's a fatherlessness problem.
Damn, it's got to be, man. It's not just, there's something switching on for these kids to be doing this. And it's nothing to do with video games. It has to do with structure. I'm pretty sure it's structure. Like, when you don't have a set schedule every day for shit you need to be doing, and your mind starts wandering off the reservation, and you start thinking of interdimensional pedophiles.
I don't know if it's as much structure, but I think it is lack of family and lack of community.
Yeah,
growing up... I belonged to stuff, and I had groups of friends, even if they were crappy.
Hey.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's got to be something like that. I don't mean they all need to play some ball sport or anything like that, but
even a local meetup once a week to roll some dice has got to be healthier than fucking jacking off the guns and ammo while listening to fucking...
I don't know. We got the cops called on us rolling dice at a bookstore.
The Young Turks.
Although, I do believe Cyclos may have a point here. Mass shootings aren't about homicide. They're about suicide. The body counts would be higher. Because in the U.S., if you spent any time practicing, I bet you could get an easy body count of 40 before you get taken out if you go into a Walmart or a Kroger.
In Minecraft?
In Minecraft.
Yeah.
You need to walk around with a bullhorn so you can go, new high score! As you, you play Minecraft.
Oh, no. Someone's going to be walking around with a bullhorn saying, killing spree, wicked sick.
Subscribe to PewDiePie.
No, I want the Unreal announcer.
Man, there is something more than white supremacy going on with these school these kids fucking shit. And they're not even kids, young adults. And I think a lot of it has to do with hopelessness, family structure, and as Madman said, civics.
Yeah, lack of actual community and belonging to things. I mean, not to be religious, but a church offered a community. Kiwanis Club, if you were just, you know, fraternal organizations, offered community.
Yeah.
It wasn't just dressing up as a moose and drinking beer. If something happened, you had a group of friends or a group of people to fall back on. Your heater goes out and you didn't have savings. Everybody at the bar ponied up $10. You had a heater.
Yeah.
Something just to keep you from freezing out at night, yeah.
But it's not that. It's knowing you've got that safety net.
Yeah, and it's...
Or knowing that somebody's going to give a shit if you do this. Because you think about it, if you don't have anybody in your life who you think you're is going to be upset, why not put on a costume and go be a supervillain? I mean...
And it's more than the handout of the safety net. It's... I feel these people care about me, and some of them actually care about you.
It's really interesting. I moved out really young, and like 17, I'm out in the world, fuck, got my own place, and I'm like, yeah, I'm free. And I'm like, fuck, I'm free. Holy shit. I gotta pay bills. Fuck this being an adult. I want to go home, man. Fuck that. Like, dude, it's damn scary when you get out there for the first time. You don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, I'll never forget what my dad said to me when I first got my first apartment by myself. Bye.
I'm back.
Yeah, that was the same thing my dad said to me when he said, "You moving out?" I went, "Yep." And he goes, "Well, you're not coming back then, are you?" I said, "Nope." And he said, "No, you're not welcome back if you leave." Like he was fine. They let me stay there at his house, but if I chose to leave, that was it. I left for good.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what? That's a good thing. Because in that first fucking couple of months where the sheer panic sets in of like, I've got bills to pay. I've got fuck all money left in my bank account because I didn't really think about this. You know, the cold dead night of not knowing what you're going to do next. That really puts the fear of fucking God in you.
Here's some ramen until payday and now I'm on a budget.
Yeah, damn, it makes you resilient, right? That first budget blowout you have and you're like, fuck. I got $3 to put in gas in the car, and I got 4 days of work left. You know what I mean? Guess now, I'm taking a bus.
Now, let me ask. If you were in a situation where, like, you know, if you couldn't get help, you were going to die, you think he wouldn't have been there to help you?
Oh, he probably would have.
He would have let you lose your job because you didn't budget for gas. He would have let you get out of your apartment. He would have probably let you spend a couple of weeks on the streets, but he wouldn't let you die.
No. I guarantee it. And you know what? He would invite me back into the house, and he would just fucking give me shit. Told you couldn't do it. Fucking knew you couldn't do it. Fucking useless. That's what you are. You're fucking useless. What are you going to do about it? You're going to fucking pick yourself up? You're going to fucking get out there and try again? But you can't. But you're too big of a puss. That's a mile, man. You know?
Yeah.
But you can't do it? What the fuck's wrong with you? Are you a pussy? I mean, it was from a place of love. But,
he was trying to get
man.
You pissed off enough to do something about it.
Yeah, anger is a fucking great motivator, you know? Especially if you want to, fuck you, old man, I'll fucking show you. Fucking young. God, I remember what testosterone was like. Oh, those were the days.
You guys ready to do dojo?
Yeah, man, I'm good.
Got two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is a presentation on how to properly use Traceroute for troubleshooting. And it's a good write-up, and it actually explains what the tool is doing, because most people don't know. And if you go on YouTube and search for Traceroute, you'll find people traceroutingto Google and talking about how they're hacking people from Google. You see that number? That's how many people I just hacked on Google. No, that's not what that tool is doing. It's a very complicated ping tool. But they do explain properly how to interpret it, how to interpret DNS, understanding what the tool is doing. So if you're trying to do some network troubleshooting, understanding where the real problems are, trying to connect to a specific site, fantastic way to do it. Even getting into how a lot of these systems are named, because they're based, a lot of networks are based on airports, like airport codes for cities. So it gets into that. Mm-hmm. Gets into common numbering schemes, how DNS typically works for a lot of these routers and boundaries. Now, these are kind of conventions. They're not necessarily rules, but it serves you well in understanding what's really going on for doing some network troubleshooting and getting into like the different delays connecting to different hops on a network and understanding how your traffic flows from device to device to device, you know, when it's actually out there on the internet. Because, you know, you think, oh, I'm just going to Google, so I'm connecting straight to Google. Well, that's great, but you're not. You're not connecting Google. You're connecting to your router or your Wi-Fi access point. That is then passing your traffic to your ISP's router or, you know, gateway. And that is probably going through two or three hops of network at your ISP before it gets up to their provider, which is going to be like a level 3 or a Verizon or an AT&T. Then it's going to go through a few hops there before it goes to the data center that's hosting the website, right? And then that is going to follow that path all the way back to get you your data. So you're not really connecting straight to Google. You're connecting, you're sending packets to Google, but it's connecting to these different boxes along the way. And understanding how that works and being able to really dig into to what a network is truly doing, and like that gets you more understanding of how the internet truly works and why things work the way they do on a network. And you can get into things like, okay, if I'm breaking into a system and can watch traffic, what do I actually want to break into? Do I want to break into your Wi-Fi router? Or do I maybe want to break into that ISP router a hop above it? I'd probably rather break in there because then I can direct where your traffic goes. You know, and this is where you get into understanding how man-in-the-middle attacks work. This is where you get into understanding, you know, different routing tables and different rules of how a system works and why you can go to websites at home that you can't go to at work, and you know how they control that kind of thing. And you can get as deep into this as you want, but this is a fantastic intro if you're just doing some troubleshooting. So it's a slide deck, but I really liked the slide deck when I was scrolling through it because it just had a lot of good, not random, but just kind of a good collection of information about how networking works. And then following on that, the second thing I have for you tonight in Digital Dojo, which I think I forgot to post the first link, so I probably ought to do that. There we go. The second thing I have for you tonight in Digital Dojo is from the Captain Milu blog. And it goes into how to enumerate all the URLs of a website to understand attack surface. So they go into doing asset discovery, subdomain enumeration, and then methodologies to figure out associated domains with tools like MassScan, DNS Info, and a few other scripts and tool sets to go in there and actually get a list of as many domains as you can identify associated with a target. You know, whether that target's something you're supposed to be testing or not is another conversation. But they use Facebook as an example, but they show how Facebook links to beta.facebook.com, login to facebook.com, m, upload, and then how it's got these other links to things like accountkit.com, oculus.com, Instagram, and WhatsApp. And, you know, it kind of details into how to do this kind of research to figure out who owns what and, you know, what are these sites all connected to? So if you're doing that kind of research on a site and you're trying to enumerate assets, It's a nice little guide on how to do that and how to widen the scope and, you know, really, really get a good picture of an attack surface, whether you're an attacker or a defender. It's a valid skill either way. Well, I would,
it's good to know what all you have to defend if you're the defender.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Especially because you'll have different teams and departments throw new shit out there all the damned time and not tell anybody. And just do it. And then, so the first you hear about it is the networking team sitting you complaining that marketing just asked you to throw, asked them to put a bunch of DNS names or put new names on systems they didn't know about because it was something, you know, they had, you know, some contractor come in and do an Amazon or some other third party website you never heard of. And now they've got a new blog they want up there with a company name and, you know, people complaining about it. You don't know anything about it. So if you're defending that shit, it's nice to know when it happens so you could. Because a lot of this is tool-based, you could even automate it looking for changes. So, it's a nice write-up. But, anyways, that's all I have for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it, pure decking every Thursday, or at least we try. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit, and the IRC. Tonight in the IRC, we had myself, Sardonyx, Psychros, Haratz, and Madman. Madman, closing thoughts.
Lemon-flavored ginger ale isn't bad.
Very random. Are you? Closing thoughts.
I have nothing after Madman. Wouldn't that be lemonade?
No, it's ginger ale with lemon in it.
Oh. Yeah, mind blowing. I'll be around. If everyone's around, we should be good, depending on how hungover I am.
I don't know if I'm traveling this weekend or not. I may have to.
Well, if you have to, then no, we're not doing IHM.
With lemon and bitters?
Lemon, bitters, and rum. There you go.
I was about to say, it sounds like it needs vodka. But anyways, I just realized we hit... We're at an hour and 15, so it's probably time to close things out. I already closed out the show. I already did the closing bit.
We're done, man.
We're done. Time music. Sound effects. All right.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Now just go nose down and call it a night.
But shut up, Wesley.
Every cow I spoke to said the same thing.